Hi, this is Sam Lagana with the Los Angeles Rams. Whose house? You're listening to the Los Angeles Rams UK podcast. Undenied worldwide. The Los Angeles Rams. It doesn't get any better than this. Let's go Rams.
Hello and welcome to episode 63 of the Los Angeles Rams UK podcast. With me this evening, we have Andy. Good evening, Andy.
Good evening, Tony. How are you doing?
I'm not doing too bad at all, thank you. Yourself?
Yeah, not too bad, thanks.
Excellent. And John, how are you, John?
Evening, Tony. How are you doing? I'm not bad.
Excellent. That's good to hear. You sound very chipper. Is your throat any better this week?
It's a lot better now. I've been hitting like strepsils, halls, lockets, you name it. I've probably ingested it in the last couple of weeks.
You'll be jangling then with through of all if you're full of all those sweeties.
Yeah, I'm expecting my throat to have been gone by the end of this.
We won't lean on you too much then, but obviously we're coming off the trip to Green Bay and the 36-28 loss, which probably feels a little bit close. Well, on the record books, sure, it's a little bit closer than it felt on the evening. Andy, what were your first impressions of the start, really, more than anything else?
Oh, the start just felt like deja vu, to be brutally honest with you. It just felt like we'd come out the bye week and basically the team had gone, yeah, we'll just carry on as we've been doing because, you know, we're going to win and there's been no adjustments, no anything. And again, it just felt like, you know, flat and uninspiring, shall we say. You know, we just didn't seem to get it going again in the first quarter, and you know, by the time we started to feel like we were getting it going, it felt like the game was already over and done with.
It did a little bit, yes. I mean, didn't really get started, and then that first touchdown and field goal in the first quarter from Green Bay, it just felt very deflating, didn't it? John, what were your first thoughts about the game?
Like going into this, I'm going to be honest, I didn't expect to come out with a win because going to Lambeau is never easy, especially when I think it was technically below freezing. It's always a tough place to go based off of how we got on last year in the playoffs. Like I said, hopes on high. Actually, I had it down as a loss, so I was kind of thought, as long as we can go out and hopefully put out a semi-decent performance and show that we've made adjustments post bye week, I would be happy. But it was basically the same team as pre bye week. It wasn't really anything like this changed. It looks like it's still plan A. If plan A doesn't work, do plan A better.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, for the touchdowns for the Rams, there was some pretty good plays there. But the rest of it around it just didn't feel very solid at all, did it, John?
No, I mean, for me, I want to know like what the deal is with like Stafford. On game day, there was all these injury reports going about that he was totally banged up, and I kind of when I seen the reports kind of going around, I kind of thought, how is this possible? He's just came off a bye week. Surely he should be like, you know, if he's got niggling injuries, fair enough, right? Because he is a veteran, and he is kind of like a bit older, but you would expect him to be like ready to go, like he was at the start of the season. So, like, how is he still banged up with, like, time off, so to speak? Because it just, again, showed signs of, like, a lot of sloppy throws. For example, like, I noted down, like, there was definitely two open, easy throws to Higbee that were either underneath or short. There was a couple that were behind OBJ. And then there was one in the third quarter to Jefferson, which the next play, he then threw a pick six. So he was just kind of quite sloppy again, and the pattern for me seems to be when he comes up against a better team that's going to give him kind of like put more pressure. But I mean, that said though, the pass to Jefferson for the touchdown was great, and also like to Beckham as well for his first touchdown as a Ram. So it's Stafford is becoming really frustrating for me now, because at the start of the season, he just looked like this elite quarterback. And as like this is the guy that's been missing, but he's just kind of regressed. And like I said, what's going on? is it a case of he is really banged up and the team are hiding just how bad he actually is?
I mean, I think Matthew Stafford has a history of playing hurt, if not injured, but he's always managed to stay on the field and produce, whatever that may mean. So, I mean, you know, he's had 10 games this season, and I think, you know, the last time he really missed any games was 2019 when he played started eight games. And he does have a reputation as a bit of a warrior who will stay on the field and still produce. I mean, fair enough, he wasn't on a great team at Detroit, and he was possibly one of the few star players that they had at any time. But I think the hope was that when he came to the Rams that we was able to put him into a situation where he could win well with other good players around him. Andy, I mean, what were your first thoughts about Matthew Stafford playing injured, and are we playing it down? Is it Todd Gurley Mark 2?
I'm beginning to wonder, to be honest, because of, as you say, how he's been playing. You know, the reports of, you know, he's got chronic back pain, he's got chronic elbow pain, you know, and everything else. I think it was the other one was his ankle. You look at his throw mechanics, and his throw mechanics do look off. You know, he's going high, under, you know, he's wide of players. You know, 3-4 weeks ago, that wasn't, you know, the first few games of the season, that wasn't Stafford. He was pretty much bang on the money. Where he wanted that ball to go, it went. And let's say now he's all over the place. So you start thinking to yourself, is there more to this than what, you know, the team is letting on? And as you say, you know, we all remember the Gurley thing of, yeah, he's fine, it's just a little nick, it's just this, that, the other. You know, before we know where you are, you know, he's been cut because he's so banged up, he's never going to be a good, you know, he's never going to play again, potentially. You know, so you start thinking to yourself, you know, is there something going on with the injuries? Another theory is, of course, is that the pressure's just got to him. He's, as I said, I think a few weeks ago, he's never been in a position before where, you know, there's been so much hype for, you know, it's pretty much Super Bowl or bust for him. You know, is it just a case of the pressure as well as getting to him now? And he's, you know, he's cracking under that pressure a little bit.
That's interesting. So, I mean, was he ever under that much pressure at Detroit? I mean, he must have been under pressure because he was the star, he was the face of the franchise, and there was a lot riding on him and his performance, trying to get the best out of, this sounds really terrible, out of mediocre players and a couple of star players along the way. But I wonder if it is that expectation of the fans and the media. Because obviously it's a much bigger media circus in Los Angeles rather than Detroit. But I don't think the fans are any less passionate between the two franchises. And you've got to stay passionate as a Detroit fan after all these years, I suppose. And I don't know, because I know there's quite a few Rams fans in Green Bay. I know the Rams Empire crew were out there, as were a couple of other people from the Facebook group, posted some pictures of their seats up in the corners of Lambeau. And I wonder if it is the expectations and the pressure that comes from the media, potentially. John, do you want to go into any more of the rest of the game, or have you just about done with it? How far did you get with it?
Right, so on Sunday, I've probably seen, I missed the kind of first half of the first quarter and kind of saw right up to about half time. One of the twins wasn't too well, so I ended up kind of seeing her. So what I'd actually done was Game Pass had, you know, every Thanksgiving, they always do like £1 and you get access for the week. So I did that and I thought, well, do you know what? I'll be able to watch, you know, the 40-minute highlights I'd originally thought. And then I thought, actually, anytime I've came on the podcast when I'm kind of been looking up stats and what for the game, I've always seen the option for coaches films. I thought I'd give that a go and I actually watched it today. And that's a recommendation for anyone, if you ever, it's maybe not to do, not a good idea if we've lost a game. It's maybe better when we win a game, I guess. But I mean, for the purpose of tonight, I was maybe a glutton for punishment. So the coaches film, for anyone that doesn't know, shows you the full game, but it's just the plays. So you see every play, but you see it twice. So you see it from, you know, your sideline point of view, fixed point, up in the stands, and then you see it from behind the goals. So you get essentially a replay of every single play straight after it. And it was really interesting to watch because you don't get the score or, you know, the time within the game. So what, even though I knew the result, knew how all everyone's feelings online about it and whatnot, and shared a lot of them, watching the game back, and I'm sorry if it's controversial to anyone out there, it didn't look actually as bad as it actually was in terms of performance. There is definitely frustrating points about it, but I mean, overall, like, take some of the sloppy throws away from Stafford, you know, we still had three receivers that were just nearly touching on 100 yards each. I think Cup was 93, Van Jefferson, I think, was 91, and Beckham was 83. You know, and Beckham and Jefferson obviously got touchdowns. You know, the kind of completion and incompletion rate of Stafford wasn't bad, but I think it was more the highlighting of the sloppy throws there that are just, like, you know, like Andy said, these kind of throw mechanics are just, they're inconsistent and out. And then obviously a pick six, which was what essentially put the game away. But watching the game back without seeing the scoreline or the kind of time within the game, you're kind of guessing, because when we got Beckham's touchdown and went for two, whilst I was watching, I still thought I was within the third quarter when I realised it was actually the fourth. So, like, compared to what it was like when we went there in January in the playoffs, we couldn't get anywhere near Rodgers, which was kind of still the same deal here. But defensively, there was a few times where the defence did hold up. However, with that, can we please get Taylor Rapp to hell? Please get Burgess in, because there's a few games now, and I'm now going to say it, Taylor Rapp is a great defenseman if you're on the other team, because he's missing tackles. In fact, he's tackling his own players, because I think there was one big game that Rodgers threw where Rapp was coming in from the secondary to try and make the tackle, but pretty much took out. I didn't catch what cornerback is. I wasn't sure if it was Williams or not. But it basically, his action gave up more yards. And he's just, I mean, had one great week, got, you know, defensive player of the week, but the rest of it, he's just, I don't know what it is that Raheem Morris sees in this guy to not give Burgess at least a chance. You know, they were all great in giving, you know, Jones a shot starting at linebacker. So why can, you know, Burgess not get in? Why is there no, like, rotation there? Why is Rapp the guy to Morris? I've seen a few people are going on also about, like, Matt Gay's onside kick, and, like, yeah, do agree with the point, but one thing I'm noticing when I'm seeing other teams onside kicking, less kickers seem to be kicking the top of the ball now. They seem to just be going with the, you know, the kind of tap and just let it try and roll. And I don't know if that's maybe down to, I think there was rule changes in the off-season that the kicking team are allowed to, you know, encroach first, I think 5 yards or something like that. So I can understand why he's done it, but I mean, you know, maybe Bob Oatman was better. But a lot of people are also saying about kind of like abandoning the run again, and like watching it back, I think there was only 18 plays out of what, I think it was just over 50. So yeah, I mean, not really running, but every time Henderson's running it again, the guy's consistent and he's grinding the yards out. And I think McVay's problem is he wants to see 10 yards a carry, and no, even Derrick Henry doesn't even do that. So I really feel for Henderson, and I'm getting really frustrated for him, because the guy is solid. And, you know, Sonny Michel, maybe we should be putting him on kick returns, because he did have a couple of decent returns as well as a couple of good carries as well. But overall, like, when you've got no one getting anywhere near Rodgers, you know, apart from a sack, and he's barely getting and not the amount of pressure on, because Rodgers didn't practice at all last week. You know, I don't care if it was COVID or whatever he's claiming it is this week. But they had, it was supposed to be their potential, their backups in the office line. You know, our guys should have been all over them. But I think that's, you know, the last thing I'll say is where Sebastian Joseph Day is proven to be one hell of a loss on that defensive line for us. And we're really feeling it in terms of, you know, pass rushing and whatnot.
Yeah, it's interesting that you mentioned the abandoning the run. I mean, I looked at the stats just before we started, and we had 20 rushing attempts versus 39 passing, and Green Bay had 32 rushing attempts versus 44 passing. And, you know, there's a little bit of a disparity there, and I don't think we abandoned it, but we just didn't use it as much as we could have done. And I wonder if some of that is trying to protect Henderson in so much not giving him the ball as much, so he doesn't get as, so, you know, we are down to the bare bones in the running back room. Although I think we'll come on to this as soon as we finish with the Green Bay game, that there is a possibility that Cam Akers is nearly ready to return. But, and I think it's a big but, it does feel as though we're not leaning in to the running game as much as we could or as much as we should. Andy, what are your final thoughts?
Yeah, I think, you know, as John said, when we're giving Henderson and Michelle a chance, they're running the ball well. I mean, I've just looked at the stats. Henderson was 55 yards, averaging 3 yards, you know, with the longest run of 7. And Sony Michelle had 3 rushing attempts for 14 yards, which averages 4.7. You know, that's good, you know, good grinding out the yards. And I think if we get back, if going back again to the Stafford thing, if Stafford is as injured as he is, you'd think the team would say, all right, we'll take a little bit of it off, yeah. We'll get the run game going. And then, you know, we'll only use your passing when we absolutely desperately need to, you know, to try. And it will also open up again the play action game, you know, which will help Stafford because he won't be under so, and the line, they won't be under so much pressure. Because at the moment, you look at most defenses, they're basically, okay, we'll blitz with both our linemen and our linebackers because, you know, get the pressure on Stafford before he has a chance to get rid of it. You know, and we need to stop that. So this, you know, get the run game going may just help to take that pressure off them as well, you know. But it just seems, again, as everyone says, you know, for me, it felt like it was a case of the running game was doing decent work and McVay just went, forget it, let's just go and lob it everywhere, you know. And you aren't going to win games like that. You have to establish the run game to control the clock, because if you look at the amount of time Green Bay had compared to us controlling the clock, you know, your defense, you could see it by the end of the game. Our defense was gassed, knackered, and couldn't do anything because they were just so tired. You know, so by running the ball as well, it'll give us a little bit more of the clock to help the defense and, you know, stop the likes of your Aaron Rodgers being on the field, you know. But for some strange reason, as I say, it just seems to McVay is like, yeah, we'll run. Okay, now we'll pass for another 20 times and then, oh, well, you know what, we may as well run again and see what happens, you know, instead of having a bit of consistency.
And you make some really good points there. And I think it was a disappointing game after what could have been, you know, coming off the bye week. You know, the players have had pretty much 2 weeks off. They should have been coming back fresh. Yeah, you can't heal all of the injuries. And if it's a long-term chronic injury, then you're not going to recover within the space of those 14 days. But I think we needed to make a bit of a statement game. And I think we said this last week, actually. We needed to make that statement that this Rams team is serious about making the playoffs. And we can defeat other good teams at the same time. And I think we've made this point between us already that this was, for a neutral, an entertaining game. It was fairly close. Nobody ran, well, Packers didn't run away with it. And I think the thing that let us down was only scoring in two of the quarters. We didn't make a point in the first and the third. And I think if we could have got a touchdown in one of them and a field goal in the other, or, you know, just a couple of field goals, it would have been a lot closer, which would have kept the Packers a lot more honest and kept a lot. And, but I mean, you make a good point about the timing as well. You know, the Packers had twice as much time on the clock as we did. They had 39 minutes versus our 20 minutes and so many seconds. And that's tiring out the defense, which becomes a more laborious task of keeping hold of the offense. So it becomes a self-perpetuating prophecy. And that's the disappointing thing, because I think our offense can control the clock. I mean, obviously, we're missing Robert Woods a hell of a lot. And that counts for a lot of the game plan. But I think Odell Beckham has has proved the player that he can be. And I think he will get better as the season goes on. He's not going to be the Robert Woods that we know and love. He's not going to be there to block plays alongside Cooper Kupp so they can both get the yards, get the touchdowns and keep the defense honest. But I think he can be that player that draws the defense wide, draws them long. But that's the opportunity when you can run the ball. And I think we're moving on here to the player updates. But have you both seen the video updates of Cam Akers practicing, John? Have you seen that?
Yes, I've seen it, yeah. I always, every time it comes up, I'm like, one side I'm like excited, but another side I'm like, actually, I don't know if it's maybe better for us and for Akers if he doesn't come back, because I'm worried that what's going to happen is McVay will rush him back and then just do what he's doing with Henderson, just abandon the run. And then it's like you're potentially risking injury. So I'm kind of really on the fence. I'd love to see him back, but I don't know if it's better for the long term.
Yep.
It's good to see the work he's putting in. Don't get me wrong. Like he's really serious about trying to get back and trying to play this season. And like, you know, got to commend him on that. Like it's not an easy injury to come back from. And it's one that I don't think anyone was expecting to be seeing in for this. So, no. You know, if he does get himself, you know, fully fit and back, then, you know, fair play to him. But, you know, head over heart, just going on McVay's game plan, like in other games with Henderson, like if he's quick to, you know, just start like slinging it down the field, like, then what's the point of rushing Akers back? I mean, because Henderson's catching passes, you know, he caught one for a touchdown.
Yep.
You know, so it's a tough one, but no, it's great to see the progress in him.
Yep. And Andy, have you seen that video as well?
Yeah, I've seen the video. I'm pretty much the same as John. You know, my heart's like, yeah, get him out there. Let's see what he can do. But my head is sort of, as I say, you know, like John, is it worth bringing him back for a few weeks to potentially just maybe make the injury worse again? You know, we had this with Todd Gurley of, you know, he's injured, we rush him back because we need him, or we think we need him, and then, you know, he's injured again, and then it gets worse and worse. You know, a little part of me is like, you know, just forget this season with him now. Let him fully heal up. Let him be ready to go for next season. You know, but my heart is saying, let's get him back. So, you know, it's kind of a bit of a, you know, you're torn between the two, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean, I was just looking at the schedule, and I'll move on to that in a little while. But, I mean, we've got some tough road games against the Cardinals, Vikings and Ravens, you know. What if we could get Cam Akers back for the games against Seattle and the 49ers? Because obviously those divisional games are important. And if we can nail those two, that puts us in a good position to snatch second place within the division. And I don't know. It just seems it could be a tactical decision like that. But I was just looking at the injured reserve as well. And the list is pretty horrendous. If you look at the wide receivers, we've got Robert Woods, Tutu Atwell and Jacob Harris, all done for the year. In the running back room, we've got Raymond Calais, Xavier Jones, Jake Fung, done for the year, with the possibility of Cam Akers returning. We've got Johnny Munt at tight end, done. We've got Sebastian Joseph Day, who's possibly back for the playoffs. And in the linebacker roles, we've got Justin Hollins, who's expected back any week now, as is Travin Howard. Andy, that's quite a list we've got there.
That is quite a list, yeah. I was just going to say, yeah, I did notice the Rams have designated Hollins to return today a couple of hours ago. They've actually designated him to return now, so he's off IR, technically.
Okay. Yep.
But again, with Hollins, he's a linebacker, but he's more of an edge rusher linebacker. He's not a middle linebacker, so we're not really adding anything. You know, is he going to replace Von Miller or Leonard Floyd? You know, so him coming back. Travin Howard might be an interesting one because he is a middle, you know, converted to a middle linebacker. He might be an interesting one just to get Troy Vedder off the field, you know, just get him off and bring him on, you know. he's not the biggest guy to cover the run, but as a converted safety, he's probably going to be the better one for covering tight ends and running backs that are coming out of the backfield, which have been torching us. But as I say, you look at the IR, it's, you know, there's quite a lot of play. And it's not as if it's all backups. You know, there are quite a few important first-team players on there. You know, again, we just seem to have been hit with the injury bug at just the wrong time. We seem to have that period of 2 or 3 weeks where everybody was going down injured. You know, you had, as you say, Joseph Day went down, then Robert Woods went down, Johnny Munt went down. You know, it seemed to be over a space of a couple of weeks, we lost pretty much, you know, 4 or 5 players who potentially could be, you know, would have been starting or, you know, in the rotation.
Yeah.
So, you know, it is something that, you know, but again, you, not being horrible, it's also something that you should, you know, every NFL team must plan for throughout the year. You know, statistically, you expect X amount of injury. I don't know what the, you know, but X amount of injuries, you know, but we don't seem to have covered for that. We seem to have just gone, yeah, we've got our starters and that's it. And we'll worry about depth as and when, you know. And I think that's what's hurting us now is we'll just go with undrafted free agents and, you know, 6th, 7th round rookies and pray that they can do something. And I think it is starting to show that it is hurting us.
Yeah. I mean, John, do you want to come in on the injured reserve there and the players that we are missing and might expect back in the next couple of weeks?
Just before on any players we're expecting back, I did see the other day McVay did kind of allude to the loss of Johnny Munt actually being a bigger loss than what people realise, because I didn't actually realise, and when I read the article I'd seen before, I watched the coach's film, and we do seem to be underutilising play action in our play calling, and apparently we McVay didn't essentially confirm it, but he kind of like hinted at it that we were running more play action because we could bring Munt in for more blocking and whatnot. And he kind of said that the loss of him has forced him to kind of adopt a new offense, as he tried to say. But essentially, it's the offense that we've been seeing that isn't really kind of, you know, firing all cylinders, and is just basically like scattergun approach, just pass it, pass it, pass it, whatnot. But I mean, to go back to like players possibly returning, you know, like Andy's saying about Hollins, yeah, he's more on the edge. Like against the Packers, like there was quite a few times Rodgers was essentially throwing open passes to where you would expect your inside linebacker to be standing, you know, when the play's underway. So it's one of those ones, like, I don't think he's going to really edge out anyone else, unless someone else shifts over, I guess. But hopefully, you know, fingers crossed, Joseph Day does indeed return for us, because like I said earlier on, like, we're really missing him on the line, because I think it's just allowing teams to essentially, you know, double or triple team Donald, knowing that there's no one else going to come through, whereas, you know, Joseph Day was like another, you know, not Donald's equal, but he was, you know, he's a good defensive lineman. He's good at getting in, you know, the faces of the offensive lineman. He's good at finding gaps and getting pressure on a quarterback. So kind of hoping he can come back, especially if it's going to be, you know, for playoffs or, you know, at the end of the season. In terms of like the point you're making about, you know, Akers coming back, you know, with his playing, you know, the 49ers specifically last, I remember us talking about the 49ers game and they were just totally like, you know, right in our face from the off and just like pounding, 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 and we had nothing to hit back with. Akers is potentially a running back that can answer that to them. So if they're going to keep punching at us, Akers, we saw it right at the tail end of last season that the guy's got a bit of speed, he's got a bit of strength about him, you know. So if he's good to go and McVay decides to go with him, which I think he probably will, then it could be good from in terms of playing against the 49ers, especially being at home. I think, you know, for any kind of playoff hopes, psychologically we need to win that game. You know, it's regardless of it being the last game of the season, because it's the 49ers and because of the struggles we've had over the last few years, that's a psychological win that needs to happen.
Okay, yes. Yeah, definitely. I don't know where else to go with that one. I mean, it just feels as though we've had a bit of a perfect storm here, in so much as that we've special teams haven't been performing, and they need to be the glue that holds the defense and the offense together. And we had that massive change around of the coaches in the off season, which I don't think did us any favors. And I don't think anybody was expecting seven of our coaching staff to actually move on. And then the potential injury, non-injury to Matthew Stafford as well. It just feels as though everything is coming together to hold us back a little bit. However, we are still in the playoff picture. We are still the top-ranked wild card for now, in front of the Niners and the Washington football team, which at the moment would still see us playing in Dallas, with the 49ers playing in Tampa and Washington playing in Green Bay, which would make an interesting wild card weekend, I think, Andy.
Yeah, that would certainly be an interesting wild card weekend, I have to say. but I don't know. We're in it at the moment. We've still got it in our hands. It just feels like it's slipping away from us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know about anyone else. It just feels to me like we're slowly letting this slip away from us now. You know, we've gone from, I think, what, we were four games up over the 49ers.
Yep.
To basically being one game back, one game ahead of them now. You know, so you're sort of thinking, you know, the momentum seems to be with everybody else except us. And it's just a worry now that, you know, they're going to, you know, something's going to happen that they're going to, you know, overtake us.
It certainly feels like that. I mean, looking at the schedule that we've got to complete yet as well. I mean, obviously we've got the Jags on Sunday, who are 2-9, but then we've got our away trip to Arizona, who are 9-2, and then we follow that up with the home game against Seattle, who are 3-8, and then we've got road trips to the Vikings, 5-6, and the Ravens, 8-3. And both those trips look pretty daunting. And we finish off with that divisional game against the Niners, who are 6-5 at the moment. And I don't know if you want to come in there, John, and just talk about or give your thoughts on that schedule to the run to the end of the season and that potential, as it looks now, the matchup against Dallas.
I think a couple of weeks ago, I was a lot more positive about the run-in, thinking, I think I had this at like, post bye week 4-3, but I mean, it's one of the ones that I don't really want to commit to is winning games now, because it's just who knows what's going to happen week in, week out now. It just seems to be going the exact same way, you know, the tail end of last season went. It's as if like we're totally deflated and like, you know, we're running out of steam. Or whatnot, like just like last season, we started off pretty well, and then it just kind of like really slowed down, and it was more of a limp over the line. And it kind of feels like it's going the same way, but the difference this year is it potentially may not be a limp over the line, it could be like a limp out of the playoffs if we're not careful here. You know, like Andy saying, there's only been like a game ahead of the 49ers now. That's where like that game in week 18 could be deciding who's in and who's out between us, for all we know. Going to the Ravens the second last week, you know, with them being the number one seed now in the AFC, you know, that was going to be a tough game as is, but it's probably going to be even tougher now. And then, you know, the Cardinals, even with like Murray and Hopkins like barely playing at the moment, like they're still the team to potentially beat in the NFC. So it's, you know, between the Jags game and Sunday, the Seahawks, who also went winless, just like ourselves did in November, you know, like, are we going to then beat the Vikings? Like, who knows now? Because, like we'd said earlier, I think every Rams fan expects us to, you know, come out fighting, all guns blazing here. I've changed up our game and whatnot. And, you know, as, you know, the social media team said, we're all in now, but it's the same old that, like, it feels like it's going to be a bit of a slog to get to the end of the season now, and it's a shame, because, you know, I think it was after the Bucks game, everyone was in such high, like, wow, like, we've just beaten the Super Bowl champions and we've convincingly beaten them, so who knows what a season's going to, like, hold for us. Like, I don't know. Hopefully on Sunday we can, you know, come out with a win. Like, I hope this isn't going to be like the Jets game last year. That's my major concern about Sunday now. Doesn't matter what the Jags record is. Like, this has got the hallmarks of that Jets game last season.
I think the performance is more important than the scoreline on Sunday against the Jaguars. You know, yes, it'd be great to win, to run out 40-0 winners, but I'd take a 2-touchdown or even a 10-point win.
Yeah,
if the performance is better.
You want to see both sides of the ball for us working hard and working well. You don't want to see like an absolute shootout. And then, like, the defense is barely like on the field, or the barely has to get out of second gear. You want to, it's one of the ones you kind of want to see is not struggle, but have to work for it, because, you know, hopefully that would then give them the confidence. Like, you know, this was a tougher game than it had to be, but we rose above that and we worked together and we came together as a team to kind of put out a good solid performance to ensure we came out with the win.
I mean, looking at the predictions that the team did pre-season. We all had us down to lose to the Packers, which means that we pretty much all of us had us sitting at 7-4 at this point of the season, although Aaron and Chris had us at 8-3. So we're not too far off where everybody thought we were going to be. I've got us winning another 4 games before the end of the season, or I had, beating the Jags, the Cardinals, the Seahawks and the Niners, but losing on the road to the Vikings and the Ravens. And the only one that really feels as though I'm a complete idiot is that Cardinals game. I think all the rest can go to form, but it's not the running we thought it would be at the beginning of the season, and it looks a hell of a lot tougher than we thought. But I still think we've got a great opportunity to finish 11-6, as I thought at the beginning of the season. And I'm not saying it'll be easy. We've got to pull our fingers out. There's a lot to do. But, and I know there's a lot of ifs and buts and howevers in this, but, I mean, that's how us fans live week to week, isn't it, before we actually get there. And just quickly off both of you, what do you think our finishing record will be, Andy?
Honestly, it's difficult to call at the moment. You know, you just don't know where we're going to go. I'd say, in the running, I think we're going to win 3 of the games. I think we'll beat the Jags, we'll beat the Seahawks, and I think we'll beat the Rams. The Vikings.
We always beat ourselves.
Well, I don't, yeah, we seem to. But I just don't see the Cardinals, Ravens, or 49ers as getting anything from the game, simply because they'll run it down our throat.
So you're on 10-7?
Yeah, 10-7.
Okay. John?
That was kind of a bit... So when I done my predictions, I originally had us down as getting 12-5, but based on the actuals, kind of like, and then looking back at it, I've got us between either a 10-7 or a 9-8.
Oof.
I don't know. I was originally 11-6. It was kind of like working out from when I predicted from the bye week, but I've got us down as beating the, you know, Jags, Seahawks, and the Vikings, but losing the rest.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Pessimism.
I think the one thing, it feels like it could be, we could win, you know, a good number of these games, or, you know, a lot of fans, I think, now are worried that it could be we beat the Jags and that's it, that's our last win of the season. You know, I think that's how a lot of fans are sort of getting to the point where that's how it feels at the moment.
Yeah. Definitely, that's what I was saying. Like, it kind of feels like we're kind of a bit deflated, I think... Like Tony's saying, like, the performance is the most important thing about Sunday, and I think if we come out with a performance with the Rams that we know that are capable of coming out and, you know, giving, then it's one of the ones then going into the remainder of the season, I think everyone would be a bit more rejuvenated. But I think it's just I think it's having the bye week and coming back and seeing, you know, nothing's changed. You know, when teams go off in the bye week, they come back reinvigorated and there's always something different, whereas it doesn't seem that way for us. And I think that's what's maybe got myself a little bit more pessimistic, because it's the first time I've probably been pessimistic all season. I've always tried to be positive, like, no, yeah, we can win. We can win any game, any given Sunday, you know, whatnot. But it's the one that one's like, ugh. I think one for me, it just shows you like the difference game, like cups, like throw Evan Jefferson. It was like, what, inches out? And if that was in bounds, like, it was a totally different ball game.
Yeah. I said it before and you've just said it for me again. I think the performance is more important. If we see Cooper Kupp receiving for 200 yards and a couple of touchdowns, and Beckham Jr. getting a touchdown, Ved Jefferson as well, hitting 100 yards or whatever, I think that will reinvigorate the fan base. And I think that's going to be important, because I think the Rams fans always make a decent show out in Arizona as well. It's not that bad of a trip for a weekend. So I think if we can make that performance on Sunday, I think there could be a decent turnout in Phoenix and make a decent game of that. And again, I think even though we're sort of expecting to lose that Cardinals game, because it will be hellish tough, I think even a good performance, but a losing performance, would see us roll into the Seahawks game. And if we can stomp all over them, please, that might set us up for the final three games of the season. But I think we've spent enough time speculating on which games we can or can't win towards the end of the season. So I think it's about time to move on to the social media questions. And as is perhaps usual after a loss, we don't have that many questions. We had quite a few statements, which I can't repeat, but not that many questions. But Kyle Lewis Taylor on Twitter asks, and I think you've already answered this one, John, to be fair, one of the questions that's burned into his brain, is why is Burgess still not getting playtime? Do you want to elaborate any more on that, John, or did you? I think I covered it.
Yeah, Taylor Rapp's a great defenseman, just not for us. He's making too many mistakes now. You know, he injured Darius Williams early in the season. He's missing tackles. He's tackling his own guys. That's causing, you know, bigger gains. You know, he's just too inconsistent. I don't understand why Burgess can't get a look in myself now.
Yep. Fair enough. I think that answers the question. I don't think there's... Unless Andy wants to come in on that, have you got anything to add to the conversation there?
No, not really. It just makes you wonder if there's something going on behind the scenes that why he's not starting. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe it's an attitude problem, or, you know, he's just not training very well, you know. But the only thing I can think of is why he would ever be kept out, because, you know, he's clearly needed back there, so... Who knows?
Yep, that's okay. I don't think we need to labour the point on that. Michael Woods on Facebook says, at least we're not the Seahawks. Thank you, brother. And Ian Woodley makes a couple of statements, questions here, just to finish us off here. As the US fans forum suggest, is it all Raheem Morris's fault? And I don't think we can put too much of this on a single coach. I think what we can do is say, as we did early on in the conversation, to be honest, is say that we had a lot of coaching changes this off season, and I don't think that's been great for the team. I don't know if John, if you want to come in on is it all Raheem Morris's fault?
I want to say in part yes, but I guess it comes down to coaching in general. At the moment, like you're saying, Tony, there's been a lot of changes, but, you know, but the season prior, Brandon Staley, you know, was brand new, so with changes there, then look how that went, you know. I suppose it's one of the ones that can work for you and against you. It's unfortunately working against us this season, but I think, you know, when you've got a only game plan, it's maybe easy for the players' heads to kind of drop, because if they know it's not working, then, well, is that a case of damage limitation? Then we just need to keep just hoping this is going to stop. And it's like, you're getting frustration from the guys like Ramsey that are like, that know we're better than this. And for whatever reason, it's just like they're coming up against a brick wall. But I don't know if it's maybe down to like losing, like either losing like Sir Joseph Day to injury, or losing, you know, guys like John Johnson or whatever. It's changes maybe like that have been made on the field as well. It could be a whole combination of things, but Morris does have to take some, but I'm not saying all, of the blame for this one. Indeed, it's his game plan, you know, whether or not we agree with his system and how he wants to play. The players have got to execute it, and then when you've got players like Reader, looks like he's just a step off every time. You know, I've already said about Rapp, early in the season, David Long Jr. was like cremated by the Cardinals. You know, it's one of those ones, like the players just in general, like maybe it's a case they're not good enough, unfortunately, which is a shame, you know, when last year we had the best defence in the league. So
yeah,
I think whilst a lot of it's, I think it is easy for us all to go, no, it's his fault, sack the coach. And to be honest, I probably would like to see Morris move on in the off-season, because I don't think he is the right man for a defence with the calibre of some of the players we've got there. But I think the answer is it's a whole lot of things. Injuries, game plan, play calling. There's a lot of things here that's at fault.
Yeah, and Dean Woodley has come in with a supplementary question, and I think I'll aim this one at Andy, so he's got a bit of time to actually get his thinking head on. Where is Aaron Donald? Has he peaked? And I think we saw quite a bit of this at the Green Bay game, actually, in that at points he was being triple teamed, and that's where Aaron Donald is at the moment. You know, he's been focused out of the game. But in theory, that should open up opportunities for our other members of the defensive team to actually get to work. And I don't think that is happening at the moment. Andy?
Yeah. I think the worry for everybody is obviously he's hit that magic, you know, the big 3-0, you know, age now. You know, where some regression may start happening. I think it's where people are starting to get concerned. Has he regressed? Is he the same player? I think he is still the same player. As you say, it's just a case of, you know, he's being double, triple teamed. Sometimes I think, you know, I saw one Green Bay, he had two linemen at the tight end and the running back all in front of him. You know, it's impossible for him to get around that. I don't care who you are. You know, you're not going to get around all of that. What you would expect, you know, the players around him to be getting, you know, you've got Leonard Floyd, who we've just given, you know, last year gave a big contract to, you know, for that purpose. We brought in Von Miller, who, to be honest, so far for me has been very disappointing. It almost seems like he's not interested. It's a case, it almost feels like I never wanted to leave Denver. Denver made me leave. I don't want to be here, really. You know, so he feels like he's almost going through the motions at times. You know, and like say, you're missing Sebastian Joseph Day on the front. Although I will say, to be honest, Greg Gaines has come in and done a decent job as his replacement. You know, he's the only one who actually got any real pressure and got the sack once, the our only sack on Aaron Rodgers all night. You know, he's stepped in and helped a little bit. But as I say, when he's got four or five guys around him all blocking him, you know, he's not going to get open.
But I think there's that one play, I think, Andy, where I think Rodgers targeted Randall Cobb, and it was Aaron Donald who had his hands in the air and it went straight through him. And I just that's as clear as day to me, because I thought that could have been the pick for Aaron Donald that everybody wants to see him play. I can't remember where we were on the field at the time. I need to go back and have a look at that. But, you know, if he could just have picked that ball out of the air. Do you remember that play, Andy?
Yeah, I do, actually. Yeah, it almost looked, I think the commentators were saying at first, it looked like it actually hit his hand a little bit.
Yes.
Because it went a bit wobble. You know, but that would have been perfect for him. But, you know, as I say, there may be a slight little bit of aggression out of him, as I said, because, you know, he is getting older. But, you know, for Donald, it's always been about the technique for him. You know, his technique and everything has been what gets him free. But when you've got four or five players blocking you, it's going to be impossible. So I think, you know, hopefully this weekend against the Jags, who haven't got a particularly good O-line, you know, let's see if maybe we can get him free a little bit. Or, you know, even if he is, let's get someone else free and let's start, you know, feasting a little bit, because that's the part that's probably disappointing me more than anything, is the fact that, you know, Donald is getting this attention, but nobody else seems to be doing anything to help, you know, to take over for him. And I think when other players aren't getting the sacks, it puts that focus on Donald because of who he is. You know, people are going, well, Donald's not getting anything, not, you know, and it sort of feeds off that.
Yeah. And I think that's all of the social media questions. I don't know if you've got anything to add under any of the business there, Andy?
Not really, no. Other than obviously, you know, the tragic news that came out the other day. You know, so, you know, it was a horrible thing to hear about.
Otis Anderson.
Yeah, you know, that's an awful thing to hear. You know, that you know, it's nice to actually see, you know, the team have put something out, you know, in his honour.
It is, yeah. No, for such a young life to be snuffed out like that is tragic indeed. And I know we trot out that word on a seemingly regular basis, but I think it's very appropriate at this time. Okay, well, thanks for that, Andy. John, anything to add?
Yeah, something I would like yourselves or anybody to please look out for, because I'm trying to work out if I'm going mad or not, but I think I know the reason why our offensive line and Matt Stafford is under pressure all the time, and it was really evident on the coach's film. Keep your eye on Austin Corbett. The hand gesture he does, every single player seen him do it, we snap the ball as soon as he's done that. Is it me, or is it clear to a defence that when you see him do that, go, because they're not going to try and catch you offside or anything with it? Like I said, I don't know if I'm going mad or not, but when I was watching the coach's fan film, every single time I see him do it, and he does it pretty much every single play, we snap straight away after that. And we used to do it a couple of years ago, but we used to, you know, try and catch teams with it, but it seemed to be every time we do it. And I just want to see if anyone else can confirm what I'm seeing is actually correct, because I think that's the reason why we're under pressure so much. And then that would raise the question, well, why do we keep doing it then?
Yeah, to be honest, I have noticed that myself. I have noticed that. That is something I've picked up on as well. So it's nice that you've actually brought it up, John, because, yeah, so
I thought I was going mad.
No, it is something that it's normally either a hand gesture or, to be honest, I've noticed Alan dips his head, like, you know, really noticeable just as he's about to snap it, which is another tell that I've noticed he's, you know, telling basically. Yeah. So, yeah, I have noticed it myself, mate.
This week I noticed it's not even just a hand gesture. He's not even set. So he's up and he's looking round at Stafford and then he goes straight into a hand gesture. So it's not like he's setting and then doing the gesture. So that's what I'm saying. This week it became even more clear. You know, if I was on the defence, it's one of the ones, like, studying any of the film, like a team, if I seen them doing that, it says, right, well, I know. Get your linebackers right up in the line. When they do that, just go. Catch them. So, no, I'm glad it's not just me. Thank God for that.
Interesting. Let's see if we get any comments from anybody else when we get this podcast posted up as well. Just a final thing for me is I noticed today that my old friend Tom Sloan is flying out to America today, and he'll be at the Jaguars game on Sunday. So big shout out to Tom Sloan, Jetwash 4 forever, and have a great game, Tom. Once again, thanks very much for your time, Andy. It's great to have you this evening.
Yep, thanks for having me on, Tony, once again. Thoroughly enjoyed it and look forward to hopefully speaking to you soon again.
Excellent, thanks very much. And John, glad to hear that your voice, A, was good enough to come on this evening and has held out.
How's it held out? Fine. I don't think I'll need any holes or strips, so this is great. But no, thanks for having me. Always a pleasure. Always great to talk about the Rams. Even if we're not doing good, it's always, you know, nice to come on and actually talk to other people about it.
It almost feels like therapy, doesn't it?
It does, yes.
Thanks very much to both of you, and I'll see you both soon, and thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. For more, make sure you follow the guys on Twitter, Instagram and Facebook at Los Angeles Rams UK, or head to larams.uk for articles and merch.